Sweeps always says himself, tune in, turn on and take off with Sweeps and the gang. See you all down the road then on the Sweeps Fox Show, Radio Ireland. I like the turn on part, don't you?
Pan around here, get a little bit of this dare you experience the phenomenon. Yes, paranormal activity. That's a new movie that's being shown around town here. Right, folks, and you can also, of course, go to their website, DublinParacon.com. This is the big day. This is 7 November 2009. And the conference will be on shortly. Wow, huh? Oh, here's a room for you. With a lot of seats. Yes. Very nice if we could fill this up now today. Besides everybody going into the room with the booths and the concessions and stands and this type of thing, this will be the main speaker's room. I imagine Sweeps Fox will be standing up there somewhere. And we have some interesting things that we need, like flipboards and whiteboards, things like that. And all three of these Goldsmiths rooms, these halls, Goldsmiths, will be used by the paranormal convention. More and more of these paranormal setup people coming in now. Welcome. Hope you have a good day. They'll be drifting in now to set up the booths and help the pigs. Yeah, the paranormal investigation guys. Wow. And more signs going up, folks. The Paranormal Convention, Dublin. Yes, that's the place to be today. And we're going to be taking you along the roads all day long around here, yes? All the pigs, Colum Whelan doing his thing. Whelan, he calls himself, yes. Some of the other boys and girls over here helping with the setup. The iMac, yes. A lot of people starting to venture forth now, come in here and do their setups. Strange things will be happening, as you will see, during the course of this convention, during the course of this day. So these are the preliminary shots of the day. As the booths are set up and getting ready. And here's the chief sales lady right over here, I know. And some of the other principals getting involved. So we'll see you down the road. Later. Hang in there. Well, we're at this gig, folks, at the Irish Paranormal Association Convention. These are the booths for the concessions, and we have a lot of great people here. In fact, you can recognize Warren Coach from NIPLA, Northern Ireland Paranormal Association, done Sweeps Fox show with him, and a lot of other people here showing some interest, so I'll be up next speaking. Let's take a walk in the room there. And, of course, this is sponsored and organized by the PIGS, the Paranormal Investigation Guys, as we take a look in this concession area. Just give you a quick panoramic view. Lots of people here. Actually, the speaking room was filled, which is nice. Just to give you a bit of a roundhouse here of what's going on. There's a lot more, but we're not going to capture too much right here, right now, and we will be filming the talk as much as we can. But these people are all special people. They make the show, they make the biz that opens people's minds, which is very important. That's why people are here, curious people. And it's always good to see them. Let's close down and we'll get back to this a little bit later. But this is thrilling. Thank you.
Oh, Let's see if this works. Hello, everybody can hear and hear now? Yes? Okay.
Hello, Rosie.
Cheers. You need that. I wonder why I need this. I don't. Okay. I love that. That's really great. Okay. It is good to be here. This is the, what, second annual PIGS convention. Actually, it's the Irish Paranormal Association convention, run by, worked hard by, and put together by the PIGS, which is what? Paranormal Investigative Guys. That's another story, isn't it? There's no women speakers at this thing. And they have all this intuitive ability. They should have women speakers here as well. Balance it out a little bit next year, right?
I'm going to see.
Right?
We're working on that.
Okay. I don't see a lot of...
Man showing this pig.
I'm sorry?
Man showing this pig.
We didn't hear that. No. You can say it louder later. Just to get started here, I don't see a lot of sheeple. I do see some people and some... A lot of curious mind faces, which is why we're all here. So welcome everybody and thank you. On sweet spots. But I'm not only a ufologist, whatever that means, I'm not sure what ufology means. I think there's a limit to where language itself can bring us. There's also a limit to where physics can bring us, and sciences. Anybody here in the major field of physics or particle quantum things, quantum mechanics? No? Okay, we'll touch on those areas a little bit and tell you why they have nothing to do with the real of reality. So we're going to talk about many faceted things here today. And we can do a little interactive type of audience thing where, since this talk will probably go for the full hour, with questions and answers supposed to be after the talk. They wanted me to throw in a few other points here because one of the speakers wasn't here. So, at times, I'll ask you as an audience, I won't point to you individually, I'll just see if you want to ask a question or make a determination or a point about something I'm talking about. All right? You just raise your hand during the talk if you want, so we don't have a real formal question and answer period. Let's get on with this. I think the non-sheeple will and are becoming the majority in the world. I'll tell you why later. Colin Whalen says to me, you only have 45 minutes. And then you have to do the questions and answers and things like this. And I said, holy jumping fright. I'm used to talking 2 hours or more. A lot of the stuff I do on camera or on TV ends up on the cutting room floor. But still, I'm used to talking for 2 hours or so. So we have to do this in haste. So if I talk too fast, talk. Okay? I do guess I have credentials outside of ufology. Be doing this talk in the paranormal genre, okay? I have been the subject of a chapter in Paranormal Ireland written by Dara de Huerta. For all you Gaelic or Irish-speaking people, de Huerta. So I just call him Whitey. Okay? But he's a good guy though. He did a very good job on this book. He even sold it, second or third edition. And they bought it in Canada for him for some reason. Maybe they have a lot of Irish people in Canada, I don't know. All right. I also have a website. And I'm not here selling anything. This is just informational things if you want to go to it. I don't like www. That's always inferred, okay? So we don't need to do that. Irish, U-O-L-O-G-Y. Ufology, study of, okay, .net. I'll leave that for a while. The reason I say that Irish ufology has something to do with the paranormal is because the formal name of my site is Irish Ufology Forum Outreach and Paranormal Studies. And there is a convergence there, which a lot of people might be aware of, and we'll try to work it into this discussion. Paranormal, what does paranormal mean to begin with? Does anybody have a good definition of paranormal? Something out of the ordinary, maybe?
Outside of the normal reality.
Okay.
Normal reality.
Right. That's the idea. That would be a consensus, I'm sure. Okay. If you want to go to Google and do a little looking around for definitions of paranormal, you can probably come up with something like, it's an umbrella term used to describe a wide range of reported anomalous phenomena. See? Words. Okay, or they'll say extrasensory and seemingly outside of normal sensory channels, whatever normal means. I can understand them saying average. I don't think anyone knows what normal means. The other thing they might say is paranormal is beyond the range of scientific explanation. Okay. In the grand scope of things, all things, in the great scheme of things, something has been happening for several generations now in mind things. Now notice I didn't say brain things, bioelectrical chemicals. Our habit realities, the things we've been doing in prior generations, all of these things, our habit realities now, maybe because of the internet, more people involved talking to each other, social sites, this type of thing, education, which is rebellious, thank goodness. Our habit realities being examined and rejected increasingly by multitudes of better informed, better thinking people who are searching for meaning in their lives. What does it all mean? Basic question. If only one, or maybe a few, of the following are genuine, I'll mention them, within consciousness, well, I'll talk about consciousness too, if they are genuine within consciousness and spirit potentials, then the whole of the one solid reality world view shatters. It falls apart. These are some of the things now that we are invested in. If you go back centuries, you'll find that the interest has been increasing and increasing. More people accepting now that there are different ways of thinking about things. For instance, categories. Basic telepathy. Thought transference. Clairvoyance. Levitation. Dowsing. Lightning rods, this type of thing. Telekinesis. Moving objects with your mind. Levitation, astrology, all of these different things. Occultism in general. Mediums, reincarnation, hypnagogic states, sorcery, shamans, yoga, auras, Reiki, all forms of healing, they go on beyond what we call normal, in quotes again, practice of medicine, this type of thing, alternate types of treatments, near-death experiences. Lots being written about that now. A lot of people coming to look at them. All of these different case histories of near-death experiences. Automatic writing. Crystal gazing. Scrying. Then we have Ouija boards. Very dangerous. I think you've heard a lot of tales about spirits, malevolent ones coming through Ouija boards, but as a means of what? Expanding into another dimension, we'll talk about dimensions. Then we have mysticism in general, we have psychic surgery, psychometry, voodoo, black magic, possession. Exorcism, rites of exorcism. Bilocation, double gongers, statues that move. Psychic hypnosis, that means hypnotizing people from a distance. I won't do that here right now. Thank you. Hypnotherapy. Psychic hypnosis, of course, is an adjunct to that. How about spontaneous human combustion? Let's not demonstrate that here. Ritual magic, spells. Then we have the I Ching, or the changes. All of these topics that I'm mentioning now, the audience here now, anything that I've mentioned so far, show of hands, anybody not heard of any of these things I've mentioned? Let's get into tarot cards, Qigong. Qigong has to walk through walls. How about life readings? Fantastic record, this type of thing. Objects appearing and disappearing, apports. They disappear and they disappear. We'll get into that. That's what the ghost phenomenon. What's the most common form of phenomenon? Ghost, believe it or not, and different ways of looking at it. We'll talk about that. Disappearances, then we have angels, spirit guides, we have nature spirits, Pan. Deja vu, one of my favorite subjects. We'll talk a little bit about that. Visualizations, premonitions, time dislocation, healing dreams, alchemy, psychic osmosis. A lot of the things that you learn, they don't know where you picked them up. Where did they come from? They just came into your mind. Psychic osmosis, one of the Eastern ways, they tell you, of the best learning, psychic osmosis. Okay, even such a partial listing, that's all I've given you is a partial listing of such phenomena, and the overwhelming now evidence of their influence and dawning importance in our lives dispels the notion shouted at us by monopoly religions that these things should be hidden. In other words remain esoteric from the general public. We don't have any right to explore these things. Why? Because I like to say in my talks, no major structured, organized religion serves the spiritual needs of humankind. They serve themselves. They want the monopoly on all these things. And we are in deep need of a free running assault on everything that we ever thought of as defined and solid reality we've been brought up with for generations. For the very first time in humankind's known histories, I say known histories, on this planet, we, the children of the overall universe, are becoming aware of something together. Nothing seems to work as it used to. In only the recent historical past, recently, change occurred slowly through the drawing out, slow machinations of the basic institutions, science, religion, education, all of these things working together, they change slowly, the mass mind of people. They created their own, through this slow process, they created their own measurement of things, created a reality based on those measurements, and sought to measure everything by that or their reality. And it had become a habit, and it froze until it cracked. We're at that stage now. We are now in the informational age, tumbler of incessant change, of information. So all the things that we look at as familiar in past decades are breaking up. But it had to come to this eventually if our ignorance and bondage was ever to be exposed and overcome. So our challenge now is to explore the individuals and seek individuals. Allow yourselves to become part of the hive. It's necessary at this point to issue the routine warning here. Listening and being here, right now, just the way you are, can seriously damage your mental health. But only if you are completely accepting of the firm and solid world in which you find yourselves, and don't feel trapped. On the other hand, it's strongly suggested that you ignore the health risks, if only to arm yourselves and be prepared for what's coming and what has really always been here. Otherwise, being here now as you are will open you up. You say, I'm already open. Okay, go with that then. But its intended drug effect is limited to altering all of your mental polarities and spiritual polarities. Cause new wonderments, create hope and humor. Humor, very important. People sometimes forget humor. And it will unfold the kaleidoscopic, crazy quilt of new realities for you, from which you can choose. You make the choice. And you can never go back. You won't want to. A bit of an interlude here, folks. One of the speakers today, Paul O'Connor, the remote viewer, you were talking about remote viewing. How many people were trying to keep this a little bit interactive? How many people know, heard the term, have been exposed to the concept of remote viewing? Show of hands. Everybody? Okay. So I've been asked to talk a little bit about that since he isn't here. I do know more than a little bit about that. I was in military intelligence. I know from the inception date when they first started this. Okay? It's a program brought over to the Army and to intelligence and used, and I will shock you, who brought it over and the people involved in the field. So prepare to be shocked. Remote viewing, what's it all about? Since everybody seems to be familiar with it, remote viewing is basically the controlled use of ESP, extrasensory perception. And they use a specific technical method, remote viewing, of doing this. They have a set of technical rules for remote viewing. A remote viewer is said to be able to perceive a target, a person, an object, an event, even if it is located in a distant time or a future time or in space itself. Okay? However, it really is an attempt to elevate consciousness. It is a consciousness expansion, hyper-expansion technique requiring people who have an advanced degree of consciousness awareness. Now that doesn't mean it can't happen to someone who doesn't have these particular qualities, because it can happen spontaneously, like a lot of phenomena. It just happens to you one day. But this training, the term remote viewing came about in 1971 through experimentation conducted by Ingo Swann. Everybody familiar with Ingo Swann or heard about him? Go ahead. Okay. He was really a truly great psychic. He put together part of the Army's program on remote viewing. There are five components necessary for a remote viewing session. You need a subject, you need a remote viewer, of course. You need active ESP abilities, a distant target that you're assigned to look at remotely, the subject's recorded perceptions, and a confirmation of any positive results that he or she may achieve. Remote viewing sessions typically last an hour, sometimes they can be shorter, sometimes longer. It is not an out-of-body experience. It's not an astral journey, nor is it a form of meditation. It's more akin to a hyper-consciousness state in which he or she can tune in to a specific target within the universal consciousness. Now that's an interesting term. Universal consciousness, mass mind, whatever, which all people and all things are a part of. No, it does not work all the time. And it really depends on the mental characteristics and the skills of the remote viewer. The real problem with remote viewing is the problem with observing anything, the Heisenberg principle. When you observe something, you change it. A lot of the confirmed things that came back to remote viewers confirmed at the time, when they examined them further, it never happened, or it happened in a different way, or it was modified somehow. When I was hanging out in a certain capacity, which I won't go into, we called the nest of them, the nest of the remote viewers, and those people involved in this paranormal program, Army program, bad psychics, they all kinds of people there, tarot card readers, hippies, people with some good sense of psychic ability or ESP, okay? But we used to call them the birdcage, because they all seem to have names associated with aviary birds. But how Puthoff works for the National Security Agency, NSA, but he had joined the Church of Scientology. Now, here's the shock. In Scientology, and if you go back to the time of the L. Ron Hubbard, right, you find out that they had developed a program called externalization. Externalization, taught by Scientology, is the same damn thing as remote viewing. All three, or four, of the major people who brought this into the Army, Al Puthoff, Ingo Swann, and Farge, all came out of Scientology. Now you can think of what you want about that. Ingo Swann was an OT.7 rather, Scientology. You can find it explained in the book Mind Reach. Mind Reach was written by two of the people in the Army program. It was written by Puthoff and Targe. Personally, I prefer astral projection like this. Paranormal functioning, outbound experiments, this type of thing, all part of the Army curriculum at the time. It was finally declassified in 1995. But they had done away with the program a long time before that. Not that it didn't have some positive results, but because of the change of personnel in the DMZ, the Department of Defense, the changeover was so rapid. A lot of these programs just got lost or shuffled around and quietly closed. Okay, in summary, on acquiring this skill depends, it's deemed impossible actually, under our current scientific imperatives. It does provide proof though, and self-satisfying proof, that we are indeed much more than our physical bodies. It's a great adjunct for a paranormal conference. So I wish Paul had been here to handle questions and answers about that. Now, what's the difference between having an extrasensory experience and a remote viewing one? Okay, things come in either way, and they can be exquisitely correct. I was notified when working in a project in Saudi Arabia in 1982 that during my coming holiday in the States, I would be contacted by an Army intelligence officer. So we met in all places in a holiday inn when I had this holiday. I could have told him that President Reagan at the time playing golf in the Atlanta, Georgia golf course was going to have shots fired around him. I could have told him a lot of different things. He didn't want to know about those things. And what he said to me, it was probably a test on his part to see if I would tell anybody or whatever. But at the time he said, there's a convoy heading to Lebanon. I said, why? Okay. I said, it's too bad, because I think the convoy is going to Grenada. Free it from the Cubans that just occupied Grenada. Do you remember that story? Okay, anyway, the convoy did go to Grenada. It didn't go to Lebanon. I could have told him that right out. But I did tell him, it's too bad that you don't have a second convoy then going to Lebanon, because there's going to be a bombing there. And I have seen this. I said, it's going to be on the Marine base. Over 200 Marines were killed in that bombing, and then we pulled out of Lebanon. But he didn't want to know about that. He wanted to talk to me about the Saudi project that was in how I could help. Okay, take a break time, brief time here, and we'll get back to the subject of my talk. There seems to be a convergence, similarities, of many UFO, alien, ET, extraterrestrial things, and the paranormal experience. You believe that? Ghosts, for example, is the most common psychic phenomenon, phenomenon in general. And you're sitting there, aren't you, Mr. Coates, who is the head of NIPRA, Northern Ireland Paranormal Association. If you want to stand up, Warren, and just show the folks who you are.
Yay!
Yeah, I always say those two things together. It brings the polarities together. And you say, oh yeah, consider both of those things. So if anything good happens, anything bad happens, your daughter, your girlfriend, whatever, comes home from college, hey, I got straight A's! I always say, yay, boo! Bring the polarities together. Now also let them know that they should start thinking about polarities. Okay, there seems to be this convergence. We were discussing that actually in the hall just before, a while ago anyway. And one of the things that happens with ghosts and with ETs is that they seem to be able to look tenuous or ephemeral at times. They go through walls, through windows. Folks, that's ghosts, ETs. What does that mean? Does that mean they're spirits, ETs? What does it mean? Different dimensions? Maybe they have a technology that allows them to do that? Ghosts can be wispy, or they can form up, do you know that, into three-dimensional looking beings. You could walk around them. They look living flesh, solid. So the ETs, at times, they're spaceships. They pop in and they pop out. Same with ghosts. Sometimes you see them, right there, they come out of the ground or they just vanish right in front of your eyes. Very interesting. Okay, so there are similarities. That doesn't mean that they are the same. It means something's going on with our idea of understanding things. When the facts and knowledge turn off. Now you can use this, I put this in a couple of my books. When facts and knowledge firm up, truth slides away. And that is a classic thing for me, it's my classic. It means anything that becomes firm in the way of knowledge enters the educational system and this is how reality really is and the facts support it, all of a sudden something changes. Truth slides away from that. Shakespeare. We're going to get into reality questions here. Tomorrow, reach the world in this funny pace from day to day to the last hour of recorded time, and all our yesterdays have lighted fools away with dusty deaths. Out now recandled, like a walking shadow, a poor plan that frets and fronts. His hour upon the stage and then it's heard no more. It's a tale told by an idiot full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. Is that all there is? At the end of it? Okay. How do we then really know anything? Well, we think we know something. Epistemology, okay, but how do we know? According to the Eastern gurus, among many of their supreme doctrines, there are four basic paths which can be taken or used to teach students as a prod toward enlightenment. The first and most excellent, they say, is through telepathy. It teaches telepathy. It's a kind of what we talked about in the beginning, psychic osmosis. It's a way of things coming into you. That's the most excellent way of learning. Things that come into you that you never thought about. All of a sudden, you're there. Psychic osmosis. The next best is through immersion in symbols, patterns, and the abstract art. No wonder artists are considered basically weird in our society. It's the second most essential way of knowing anything. Art, understanding art and symbology. The third is by the use of special sounds and music. Most of us can identify with mystical, emotional appeal through music. The way music can send us, wow, tingle up my spine, it means something's going to you. Okay, and the last and the least way, and you won't be surprised, the least way of learning, getting knowledge from something, is through the written word. But in a form nearer the metaphorical and mythical type of style. Poets, poetry, what? They seem to be able to help us leap, to dart into and conjure the abstract more vividly and directly and make connections than the straight linear word. How many times have you been taught or told in school, stop linear thinking? That's what this guru thing means. Life can move, as poetry, towards the transcendent, beyond strict verbal meaning, beyond words, there is a whole universe of thought. Thinking without words, maybe this is a more natural communion. To participate fully in the universe, one needs to forego, maybe even overcome, thinking in words. There are ways of doing this, says every occult tradition, Eastern tradition. Most brilliant ideas, inventions, discoveries, they weren't thought out. Maybe the subconscious was programmed to solve a problem. But most brilliant ideas and discoveries seem to come out of the blue. Suddenly, without thinking in words at all, a basalt, holistic concept erupts in a flash of intuition or wholeness. And then what happens? You've got this flash without words. Suddenly you know something. How to do something, how to put something together, a whole new concept. But how do you make it work in a world of words? It takes a lot of work, doesn't it? It takes years, maybe decades, to work out this holistic thing that you were given, this gift. To make it work technically or make it work educationally, whatever, in the world that we live in. So no doubt, the keenness of knowing of more than the one solid world reality, artificiality, sparks a forever journey into the mystery of who and what we are. Knowing this also makes life a lot more pleasant. You don't have to accept authority. You be your own disciple. Unorthodox and entertaining rock, too, is fun, leading to self-discovery and a reconnection to our trampled, multi-dimensional naturalness. We are multi-dimensional creatures. We've been trampled, okay? There are very basic, understandings from philosophy. Free will versus determinism, all these terms I'm sure this audience is familiar with. Superdeterminism, which could be woven into the principles and actions we might take and the relationships to those. Philosophies, does it matter at all, would be one of these considerations. Does anything matter at all? Okay? So we have to consider also, let's talk a little bit about quantum mechanics, particularly Schrodinger's cat. Perception, okay. The quantum revolution now shows that everything is relative to the point of view of the observer. Therefore, what is of value is not what can be measured by the mind, but what is felt in the experience. This way of thinking gives power back to the individual. And it's already taken effect in our generation. Changing education, changing the basic institutions, the cultural institutions. And as I'm always fond of saying, no one can bring anyone else to where their own experiences are. Let's talk multiple dimensions for a while, just to give you a little background here. So they're talking about 11 or more dimensions now. Maybe interpenetrating, interplaying with our 3D stable sameness as we know in the universe. BTW, by the way. This consideration of parallel universes, in other words, there's more you, there's more me, on different dimensions, in different parallel universes. Okay, quantum theory allows for that. It also allows and here's the big thing, it also allows for all the paradoxes involved in time travel to be solved. In other words, if you are multiple me's, multiple views, multiple eyes, in parallel universes, all of the paradoxes involved in time travel don't exist. So time travel is possible. You might not come back to the same place even though you think it is. Let's talk a bit on something rather fascinating. And it's about, again, consciousness and its many dimensions. Tupac. Anyone here of Tupac? Anyone else? Besides the ghost hunters? Okay, Tupac. Very interesting. Because it says something about consciousness. Our multidimensional individuality, okay? Okay, the talking about Tupac. Actually, what are Tupacs? Thought forms, mental creations of real 3D functioning, living, breathing things. People have been known to create these things. A book by Alexander David Neal called Mystery and Magic in Tibet describes such techniques. Observing the technique and practicing it herself, she was able to produce a tulpan, a monk figure that followed her in a distance, okay? He is constantly feeding by her mentally to keep alive and this type of thing. It took her a long time finally to make it go away by not giving it substance mentally. But Tupac, yes, okay, these are thought forms and they exist. There's also a new book out, and it's called Unlikely Prophet. Go to, Amazon.com, Google it. It's called Unlikely Prophet, Revelations on the Path Without Form. And it will tell you all about experiences of the man who actually drew the Superman comic books for years. How he got into this while thinking and actually making his drawings and everything for a Superman character, and how he actually created certain characters that came into existence. Does anyone believe this? Read the book. I was convinced. What's the name of the book again? An Unlikely Prophet. Revelation from the Path Without Form. It's very good. Let's switch over to UFOs and aliens with this subject in mind, thought forms. Another interesting comparison here, or difference. UFOs and aliens, thought forms. Is it possible that our worldwide mass consciousness, so involved now, with the subject of UFOs, extraterrestrials, films, books, imaginations, toys, UFOs and aliens. Did we in some way help create some of them, at least? Are they thought forms? Are they UFOs? Well, I've encountered them in my experience. And know that they are real. Are we talking about crazy things here today? Huh? Interesting, isn't it? Yeah, and a lot of people would think you're crazy, but a lot of people like to think you're crazy because they want to believe that the world has a stable sameness. It doesn't. A lot of people won't share these things. Do psychic things and UFO things and ghost things and AT things, do they happen frequently in our society? Yes. Do people like to talk about them? Mostly no. Is it part of our coming or past or reality? Does it have anything to do with any kind of reality? Yes. Most people, we talked about this, most people don't want to know. They block it. They cloak it, cover it successfully. They don't want to know this. Don't tell me. And they're really frightened because they don't know what reality is. If the reality that they know is paying taxes and supporting a government like we have in Ireland, they're in big trouble. But that's their reality. Okay? And so they have to open up. People sometimes get opened up quickly, spontaneously, and then they can never go back unless they really try to block it in and try to create this box of sameness again for themselves. Okay? Saucers, UFO similarities to ghosts. A lot of the same definitions about what ghosts do and what UFOs do are attributable from one to the other. That doesn't mean they're the same, as I said. Okay. Dwarves. What do we know about dwarves? Very little, except we're seeing more of them. Maybe there's more talk about it. Maybe they're thought forms. Maybe we're creating some of them. Maybe they really do exist, and they're coming into our dimension. Remember, dimensions are interrelated, interlaced, interwoven. Sometimes you get a crossover. Some people see them, sometimes you don't. Ever bump into an invisible person on the sidewalk? Or you ever been invisible and had someone walk into you and say, oh, what? It happens. Okay, these are all things to keep your mind open about. Perhaps all of our realities, perceived and non-perceived, are virtual. In other words, nothing's really real in the sense that we understand that. Let's read over to déjà vu. What is déjà vu? Anyone have a déjà vu experience? Don't tell me nobody here has had a déjà vu experience. It happens basically starting in adolescence and such. Okay, we have two people that raise their hands. That's good. That is not proportionately correct for an audience this size. I believe a lot of people are hiding behind their stable sameness in the box. Okay. Déjà vu. It's almost like, and the two people that raised their hands can comment on this any time, or anyone else for that matter. Déjà vu is really like a memory of the future, but you don't realize that it's a memory of the future until it starts happening in the present. Déjà vu means I've been there before. Psychologists, psychiatrists will tell you, well, it's just because you had an experience that was like that before, and you just thought that you had experienced it before, but it's really a common thing, something that repeated itself in your life. Not true. Déjà vu. When you have a true déjà vu experience, and we've had two people raise their hands here, a déjà vu experience is an experience where you're in a certain place at a certain time. Hello. Welcome. All of you. When you're at a certain place at a certain time, things start happening and you say, oh my gosh, I've been here before. You know what the person next to you is going to say before they say it. You know who's going to get up and go to the loo. You know the circumstances of how this is going to end the conversation. You know the whole ambiance, the look of the room that you're in. And it's like you're standing back from all this. You're there, but it's like you cannot intervene. You can't change it, any part of it. But it unfolds just the way you remember it. This has happened to me many, many, many times. Descartes, the philosopher, sort of the spirit, or at least the figurehead of the age of rationality, okay, the age of reflection, this type of thing, he said, cogito ergo sum, right? I'm sure you all had that in your education. Cogito ergo sum. This was supposed to be the era, ushering in the era of rationality. Cogito ergo sum means what? I think, therefore I am. But he should have expanded that. He should have said, I am what I think, or cogito ergo sum, I think, therefore I am what? Okay, so you are, but what are you? Okay, that's just a little thing of mine. I wish he had expanded on that a little bit. Because we have entered an era whereby consciousness recognition, consciousness itself, must include the idea and ideal that yes, I can bring about different realities by thinking about them. What I think of reality can become reality. One attracts what the mind is drawn to. The hardened skeptic thinks, rather, there is nothing out there but the one solid reality world here. They successfully then block out anything else that is not there for them. In other words, they block out the possibility of all possibilities. The possibility of all possibilities, I tell you outright, always exists. Vibrations, frequencies, things like that. I was going to go through, but these guys are rushing me as usual.
Sorry, please. I apologize, but we're on a word. We've got two more calls and it finishes at 6. We'll be kicked out at 6.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I think we got enough here to thwart that. Okay.
Well, but you could be out here asking questions in the main.
Okay, I can do that. I was going to go over some of my documented paranormal things, but we'll have to hold that for next year.
Thank you,
too bad, because it was in my books anyway.
Okay.
Let me just say one thing here. Yes, I have encountered ghosts in Ireland. Okay? I want to thank you all for joining me today and listening. Okay?
Listening to Choice 107.
Your local station.